Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Auto Transport Intel. It is Wednesday, it is noon, and we are live here on DOT Compliance, and this is the weekly show, DOT Compliance, with your DOT guy, Brian Riker, where we talk about all things compliance, FMCSA, DOT, IRP, IFTA, weight distribution, trailers, equipment, etc. So we're going to do that, and in fact, here's what's cool. Hey, do me a favor, by the way. You see that link below the screen? You're watching YouTube. You can hit that like button. Do me a favor. Hit that for me, please. And you can hit the share button. You can hit share, hit copy, grab that link, and text it, email it, share it on social media, send it to your friends. Say, listen, this guy's going to be live for the next half hour. I know you've got a question about your five-car setup. Brian Riker, great advice. He wants to help. And also, if you want to dive in further and talk to Ty, go to autotransportintel.com, click on sign up, and get in touch with Ty so you can get some coaching, get some advice. And also, please do say hello in the live chat. Now, this show wasn't scheduled. Ooh, Fritz found us, though. We didn't know if we were going to do this show, but this is the last DOT compliance of 2020. So something to celebrate there. So thank you, Fritz. Thank you for saying hello. Good to see you in here. And without further ado, let's go ahead and say hello to Brian. Brian, can you see us and hear us okay?
Yes, I can, Jay. I have to apologize because my location today is in a hallway in O'Hare Airport in Chicago, so you might hear some announcements in the back from time to time.
All right.
But we make it happen when we can make it happen.
I like it. I think it's great. And you just landed. You just landed like what? 20 minutes ago?
About 25, 30 minutes ago.
Let's go ahead and bring up a picture of, there's Brian's plane.
Yeah. I love those little planes cause I love flying. So it was a fun trip today.
Awesome, man. Someone in the live chat last night was like, well, is Brian going to get his turnaround? And I said, well, I think he's flying. So I think we're okay.
I haven't driven a truck since before Christmas. I've been flying everywhere. It's been end of year DOT audits, getting people help set up their clearinghouse, just making sure everything's right before January kicks off for a lot of my customers.
I'm going to make a note of that too, because we're definitely going to talk about clearinghouse. And I just made it on the DOT audit. I want to ask you about that too. And again, we also, okay, hey, Carlos Braxton is here, ACB Logistics, what's going on? Ooh, Lionel Yates made it here. He was on the show last night. We're going to talk about that too. What's up, Lionel? Thanks for tuning in. Fritz says that Carlos Braxton was too slow. Fritz got here before Carlos. Well done, buddy. So, all right, let's talk about the show last night. And this, man, we move quick. We got 25 minutes, and then we're going to cut you loose, okay? Last night was the Wheel O Topics December 2020 show. Now, I have a sneaking suspicion that anybody in here actually saw that show. Most folks tuning in right now were either on the show or saw the show. What is it about last night's show that I thought it was amazing? Again, I plan it, but, you know, I don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
I think we had a great show last night. We got deeper into what makes the auto transport industry work than just a dealer has a car, an auction sells a car, and a trucking company moves that car. And that's really the level of education and understanding that successful business people need to have to grow their company beyond just driving your truck and taking loads off of a load board or working with a broker dispatch service. So we really got deep into that. And from my end, we got to speak a little bit about equipment and compliance there. But they all play together. So overall, it's important to understand the entire industry, not just the little portion that you're doing every day.
I was looking at, I rewatched the shows the day after, and I work on the description, etc. This is the list of topics, and I was rereading the list of topics, and So, like, on show day, I really try to get in the zone. And, yeah, like, I was trying to really cover. I also, you know what I do, Brian, is I look at who watches the show. And I try to find topics that will cover all the different verticals of the folks that tune in. And, yeah, I was really excited about some of the questions I'd come up with. And again, that's just from talking to dealers, auctions, carriers, repo agents, brokers, etc. And, yeah, we know that if you have a job, it's funny, we say stay in your lane. And if you have a job, we want you to focus on the details and minutiae of that job. But at the same time, if you're going to be an owner, which this industry is full of entrepreneurs, innovators, etc., if you're going to be an entrepreneur or an owner, you're going to have to know more of the big picture. And I felt like we did. We really looked at the big picture. It was neat.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely correct. You don't have to be an expert in these other areas. That's what you have the folks that run those lanes for. But you must at least be aware of what's going on out there. It's the same thing with your DOT compliance. I don't expect you to be an expert on regulatory compliance, but I expect you to know that there are some compliance hurdles and burdens and maybe some deadlines so that you reach out to somebody that can help you stay compliant. Same thing with your drug testing program. If you have CDL drivers, when you're hiring someone, I don't expect you to be an HR expert. That's what you have your tax professional for, so they can make sure you get the payroll right. That's what you have an attorney for, to make sure that you're not violating any labor laws when you hire someone for the first time. It's all about just knowing that these things exist and not ignoring them, and then knowing where you can go to get help so that you do it right the first time.
Well, you know, it's ironic that you were saying that. It's true. Everything you said is true, and yet the FMCSA expects you to be a total expert.
Right? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But fortunately, with the USDOT, with the FMCSA, we can outsource a lot of this expertise. You just have to have access to somebody that is an expert. So that's where people like myself and other companies that do this come in handy, because we are your go-to on-call expert when you need it. But yeah, they expect the truck driver to know all 800 pages of that little green book, and it's tough. Not many people are going to be a geek like I am. When I got my first CDL and I got that little green book and I sat and read it cover to cover, but there's a lot in there that can affect you day to day just out on the road as a driver. You really should at least be familiar with what's inside that book.
We were talking about video games last night. But by the way, before I say that, hey, Devin Richards from Victory Lap Transport is here. What's up, Devin? Thanks for tuning in, saying hello. Chris Chamberlain says, great show last night, the whole show last night. Looking forward to his call with Ty. Awesome. That is great. And then Victory Lap Transport also says, hey, just got my insurance quote. Cool. 2021 is going to be a great year. That's awesome. Thanks for tuning in, saying that, sharing the good information. What was I going to say?
Video games.
Video games. Thank you so much. We need more video game thinking so that we go back through these snooze fest topics. Like, what if there was like a DOT video game?
Absolutely. It would be a virtual reality training program in the format of a multiplayer live interactive video game. And I really think that's the way training is going in the future anyhow. And that would be a great way for you. You'd go in and you play around for a little bit, have a few laughs, make it kind of lighthearted, but you learn at the same time.
Ah, and that's interesting. You have a few laughs, make it lighthearted. Some folks, I think, have a harder time with that style of communication. You know, it's more militaristic, which doesn't contain much fun. But I do know, like, if you take, like, online traffic courses, those are not bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're not near as painful as they should be.
I've been working on developing online OSHA training that is cartoon based, and it's kind of fun and funky. And for that end, we've licensed the rights to use Simpsons characters. And so we're using Homer Simpson in OSHA safety training
material. That is a great idea.
it works so much better than me showing a real picture of a real forklift operator doing something wrong when we see this fictional
Homer
character.
Simpson, yes.
It sinks right into your head. And I want to try to bring that into the transportation world as well. We're just not quite there yet.
That is really great. Wow. So we can make like a flip of the week cartoon.
There you go.
That is awesome.
Who out in the audience is a cartoonist who likes to draw for fun? Right. Maybe they can start putting this together for us, Jay.
For real. I'll tell you what, that is, it's interesting you say that too, because you can come up with a good idea for an app and then it's like, okay, anybody know a developer? And the
yes.
same thing happens with creative content. I can't draw at all and I can't do any kind of animation or nothing. So I've come up with ideas. We all have. But getting it put into execution mode is tough. All right, so we went through the recap. Oh, by the way, you know, we were talking last night about a monthly equipment show, so I started thinking about it. There's no reason we can't do a monthly equipment version of this show once a month on a Wednesday at noon, like DOT compliance, you know, equipment, monthly installment, something like that. Something
yeah,
to think about.
I think we could work on that. Maybe keep people informed on the latest equipment changes, what will help them stay compliant, help them pick the right equipment to do the job, because that is key to your success, is picking the right equipment to do your job, what you plan to do.
And we could even do like mini panels, like you know, we could bring in Lionel or Ty or, you know, something like that. It'd be like a spin-off.
Sure, even someone from one of the equipment manufacturers or something like that.
Ah, see, now that's what I started thinking. I'm like, okay, see, that's the thing. So as the captain of the channel, yeah, we can bring in some equipment experts where it benefits them as a business, adds to the content and the information. Whoa.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's a no-brainer, but yeah, I think we're really onto something, and I love the idea, and this is the home. DOT compliance is the right place for that.
Absolutely. It's an important part of your business plan, so obviously Ty has a lot to say about it, but
yeah.
You have to have the right equipment so you can be compliant with what you want to haul. I've had clients come to me that want to move big, heavy stuff, but they just don't have the right truck and trailer for it. We
yeah.
have to walk them through picking the right equipment, understanding axle weight ratings are different all across the country. We have a federal guideline that sets a 20,000 pounds single axle, 34,000 pound tandem axle rating, but you get into certain states like Michigan or New York, they have different ratings for when you're running in their states. So you may be familiar with the rules from the state you're from, and then you get halfway across the country and find out, crap, my equipment's not compliant. So it's great to have that type of education to understand what the rules actually are as you travel across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing too, is I've been listening in, and when a random question arises, it can get very, even an experienced carrier can run into real pitfalls when it comes to state legal or legal knowledge state by state. And that's where, I mean, you absolutely, again, the FMCSA, so I think somehow kind of expects you to just kind of get in line.
They expect us to know this, but it's not really consolidated in any one location where it's easy to find. I've been doing this 30 years, 11 as a consultant now, and I still have to go back to reference books every day when I get a question that isn't one of the routine questions. There's just too much for anyone to actually remember all the time.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. So I just put the link to your site in the live chat. By the way, let's see. Devin says he got his green book.
Good for him. Now read it, because that'll have a lot of information in there. And then when you start questioning what it means, then go search for the regulatory guidance or the interpretations to that, and you'll see what they're actually trying to say in plain English. But yeah, that green book is a good book to have.
Let's do this. We're already halfway through. I want to make sure we talk about Clearinghouse. Again, I know it's a bedtime story, and I say that in jest, but I say it with reality. This is one boring topic, right?
I'll try to make it short and sweet. Clearinghouse has caught a lot of people by surprise, even though it's actually a rule that's been in effect since January 6th of this year, with full enforcement starting January 6th of 2021, so a week from now. This rule has caught a lot of people by surprise, a lot of single truck owner operators. Well, first, let me start by saying it only applies to CDL drivers. If you do not require a CDL to do your job, then you have no reporting requirements for this. It doesn't matter if you have one and you're driving a smaller truck. If you do not require a CDL for your job, you're not expected to drive a CDL required vehicle, then drug and alcohol testing and the clearinghouse do not apply to you. So that said, this caught a lot of single truck owner operators by surprise, because I know my drug testing history. Why do I have to go on a website and pay a dollar to buy my history to prove that I'm compliant? Well, it's just like running your driver's license every year. You know you're driving your abstract, but you still have to buy it and run it every year to keep DOT happy. That's the root of this. Now, where it gets more complicated are for the fleets that have employee drivers, because we have to query all of them. We've had a requirement to query any new hires since January 6th of this year, and a lot of fleets are not doing it. Add complication to that, it's a government website. We all know how well prepared the government is. You can't even log in and set up your clearinghouse account properly right now. I tried on Monday to set one up for a client, and the system is down again. So you have to use a backdoor sneaky way, which the short way is say you do not have a DOT number. Even if you do, that bypasses your connection to the FMCSA portal account, which is messed up right now, and lets you set it up. But we have a compliance expectation. DOT is not going to cut us any slack, even though their computer system is not working properly to allow us to do these queries. You have a week to get it done if you have a CDL and you have not done it already. The article you had up on the screen earlier, Jay, from Landline Magazine, OOIDA, has excellent information to walk you through how to do this if you're a single truck owner operator. Same thing will work for you if you're a fleet. If you are a single truck owner operator, make sure you're in a compliant drug testing consortium that will report your results on your behalf to the clearinghouse. Your TPA has to report that for you. You are not allowed to report your own reports to your own results to the clearinghouse.
So I pulled up. Okay, I got this at. I'm gonna type it in here. Let's see. This would be clearinghouse.fmcsa.dot.gov. All right, great. And here's the link. I'm copying the link. I'm putting in the live chat. And I'm also going to say, my guess is a lot of the people that watch this show are not CDL holders. So again, if you're not a CDL holder, this would be another reason why probably there are several folks that, you know, don't want to go CDL yet, right? There's
absolutely all kinds of reasons. I don't want to beat the clearinghouse up, because probably 60% of our audience are not CDL drivers. And this is another reason to make that business decision if you want to operate CDL or non-CDL equipment, are all of these additional compliance requirements. We have the apportioned registration, which is the IRP. We have the IFTA, the International Fuel Tax Agreement requirements. We have the drug testing requirements, the clearinghouse requirements. All of this is not there when you're running a non-CDL vehicle. And you can run a non-CDL vehicle profitable if you go after the right work. Don't take your three-car non-CDL truck and try to compete with a Stinger for those loads. They're just completely different animals. And you can run a safe and compliant trucking company with non-CDL drivers as well. So, again, it's part of your business model. What other regulatory hurdles do you want to jump through for that potential chance of increased revenue? You have to make that decision on your own to decide what's worth it.
And we've got in the live chat here, this is good. So Devin and Fritz are both talking about their equipment setups. Okay, so Devin's got non-CDL, 2007 2500 Ram with a two-car Kaufman intrastate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Fritz has a 2012 F550 with a three-car Featherlite. And they're also talking about their insurances. I'm going to set that aside for a minute. But then they're comparing their insurance rates. But basically, yeah, they're both. Now, Fritz, do you have a CDL? Just a question, because I'm just curious. But I talk about the clearinghouse more than I need to. It's out of my wheelhouse. But I know how serious enforcement is about drugs and alcohol. I mean,
and that is a big issue this year. We increased the amount of drug testing that's required for commercial truck drivers from 25% to 50% every quarter because of increased positives from marijuana. And so now they're looking at drug testing very closely in the trucking industry. It is one of the deadly sins that they will pull your operating authority for if you are not compliant. And with this new clearinghouse requirement, it's going to be part of the roadside inspection starting the morning of January 6th, where they will query the clearinghouse to see if you, the driver, have had your record run within the last year. If you have not, then you most likely will be placed out of service, and they will start the process to do an audit of your motor carrier. So as a CDL driver, you have an obligation to register with the clearinghouse as well. If your employer has not asked you to go in and register with the clearinghouse, you might want to ask them, hey, do you know about this clearinghouse? Have you run my record yet? Because if we're going to do a full query of your record, you, the driver, must create an account and give your employer, which could be you if you're also the motor carrier, you have to give your employer permission to do that. So if nobody's told you as the CDL driver to create your clearinghouse account as the driver yet, you might want to ask your safety department if you work for a company, hey, are we compliant with this clearinghouse stuff? I heard about it, and I don't want any problem when I go back out on the road after New Year's in a roadside check.
Well, and it's funny. Yeah, I'm trying to create the same level of conversation on the carrier side that I know that enforcement is having. As we see marijuana, cannabis, pot in the news, you know, freedom and personal choice and what is it, BDC or what's the DBC, whatever that.
CBD?
D. Yeah, the cannabinoid or whatever. But enforcement is going nuts over this popularity rise in cannabis. Because mm-hmm. in the enforcement world, this is not supposed to be happening. What are you talking about?
In our world, as USDOT regulated entities, it doesn't matter what your state says. It doesn't matter what the prescription is you have for it. It is still a prohibited substance. There was recently legislation that made it part of the way through Congress to take it off the Schedule 1 list so it would no longer be a federally prohibited substance. That said, USDOT policy will keep it on the prohibited list for airline pilots, commercial truck drivers, maritime workers, and other safety-sensitive functions for the foreseeable future. I don't see it coming off of that list until we have appropriate field sobriety test for it, just like we have for alcohol. And when it does, that's great. And now, as far as the stuff you see out there advertised that says zero THC, take it at your own risk because my daughter's in
any
that
trace
business.
And you are.
You're done. And my daughter's in that business. She runs a laboratory in California that tests medical grade marijuana for purity and contaminants. And she's explained to me that none of the oils or other over-the-counter products that you see, there are no standards set for them like there are for prescription grade products that say what they use as a test to determine what zero is. They may have tested a random sample once and found it had zero THC, but they don't check their manufacturing process regularly. So you take that stuff at your own risk. It's still prohibited. It still will be a positive. And if you get a positive drug test as a CDL driver, you must go through the return to duty process, which is long and expensive.
And it's a punishment, you're in trouble, mister.
Yes.
It's also a psychological killer. I mean,
and Here's the problem. The CDL drug testing rules only apply to CDL drivers. However, once you've been suspended as a CDL driver from operating a commercial vehicle for a failed drug test, you can't even jump in your non-commercial truck, non-CDL truck that's still over 10,000 pounds and operate it until you've completed the return to duty process. You are then prohibited from all federally regulated interstate transportation. And that return to duty process involves you going to a substance abuse professional, so a doctor, having them decide that you don't have a problem. Maybe they're going to tell you you have to go to NA or AA. Then it involves a series of directly observed. They're going to be in the room with you as you give the sample, testing for 12 months at your cost, not your employer's cost, to prove that you are clean for 12 consecutive months before you have fully completed the return to duty process and can drive as a normal driver. You need to have a doctor sign off on you before you can even get into that. Okay, go back to driving and give us 12 random unannounced tests over the next year. You still need a doctor to sign off before you even get to that state. So you get a positive test or a refusal to test, you're probably unemployed for 3 to 6 months while you straighten this out.
Wow. And to me, I think that's a conservative estimate, honestly. And this is a topic that just really, it's extremely divisive. We only got a few more minutes left, so I want to talk about DOT audits.
Okay.
What, you know, this is out of my wheelhouse. Brian, what do we talk about?
Well, the new entrant audit, a lot of folks are somewhat familiar with now. Anyone that's gets their operating authority within the first 18 months has to prove they have the basic safety controls in place. So you know how to check your driver's background, you have a driver's abstract form, a medical certificate, vehicle maintenance files to prove you know how to maintain your vehicle. That's routine. They're doing them off-site now. So we're just scanning and uploading a packet of information to FMCSA. Again, starting January 6th, they will clearly be looking for that clearinghouse query if you have CDL drivers. I'm not getting back down that path right now. But the other part of DOT audits have to do with your on-road performance. When you get into the intervention threshold in two or more of the basic categories, the basic categories are how they score you, hours of service compliance, driver fitness, unsafe driving, etc. When you get into the intervention threshold, which varies depending upon your fleet size, if you're a single truck owner operator, you're compared to other small single truck owner operator fleets. If you've got 20 or 30 trucks, you're compared to other companies with 20 or 30 trucks. So it's a weighted curve based on how your peers perform. But if you have too many violations during roadside inspections, that triggers them to come in and do a compliance review or a full-blown audit at your facility, where they will actually take all your files apart. You better be able to match your trips to your fuel receipts to your logbook. You better have actual complete driver qualification files, not just the three or four pieces of paper they randomly choose to have you upload during your new entrant audit. And so something like this, if you know you've been having a problem at roadside, you better have somebody help you get your back office together, because it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when they're going to come knock on your door.
That's like an IRS audit, right? So it's triggered.
Just like
and
it.
Now you are no longer, you know, this is a real deal. That must be a crazy moment.
Absolutely.
That's like a video right there.
With your new entrant audit, they are very educational. They're not there to enforce the rules and punish you. They're there to teach you. Once you've had a problem at roadside too much to trigger a compliance review or a full-blown audit, it's like the IRS. They're there to find out what you're doing wrong. They're there to cite you for your problems.
Right.
And they're very, very thorough.
And maybe shut you down. I mean, this is
absolutely
the, this is Peter at the gates.
They can
or whatever.
They can issue a immediate out of service order if you don't have certain controls in place. Like if they can prove you're operating with unqualified drivers, you had a driver with a CDL or even a regular license that expired and lapsed, and you didn't catch it. They can prove he was dispatched on a load during that time. They can shut you down right then and there for these violations.
Wow, that is intense. And hey, we've got a question. Devin wants to know, do I need a medical card for non-CDL? Great question.
Devin had said earlier that he's non-CDL intrastate, so he does not leave his home state, correct?
Yes.
So that answer is going to depend upon the state that you're based out of. Some states do not apply any of the federal regulations to vehicles under 26,000 pounds, so you're non-CDL. Others do. For example, the state of New York, you need a medical card for anything over 10,000 pounds gross weight, whether you leave the state with it or not. My home state of Pennsylvania, we put that threshold at 17,000 pounds. Arizona puts that threshold at 26,001 pounds. So it'll depend upon the state he's based in if he needs a medical card.
And I just asked him his state, and I know he'll reply. I think it's Virginia. Do you happen to
If it's Virginia, he will. Virginia. I believe off the top of my head, Virginia requires medical certification at 10,000 pounds. They adopt the federal regulations completely.
So basically,
the best resource to find that, the best resource to find the answer to that is just about every state out there. Their state motor carrier enforcement, state police have published what they call a trucker's handbook. Google whatever state he's in, Virginia. Trucker's handbook, and somewhere in there it'll have some information on driver qualification and even the class of vehicles that their enforcement applies to. Virginia, I'm pretty sure they're going to require medical because they require all vehicles over 10,000 pounds to enter the scales anyhow.
So I found this truckingtruth.com. Now that sounds like a private blog or other, but at least it might be the beginning of a helpful resource. Here, yeah, there's a button that says download the Virginia CDL manual. I just clicked on it. It's a link to the DMV in Virginia. And I'm going to share that in the live chat. And that might actually be...
He might be able to find the answer in there.
156-page PDF. Yeah, that's it, man. There's the PDF. And there's your bedtime story. If you can't sleep tomorrow night and everybody's awake partying. With CBD and all that stuff. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, buddy. No, listen, I bring this up. I think it's a... I'm glad we covered a lot and we got to end the show. But this cannabis thing, it's so interesting. As a private citizen, it's like, oh, wow, that is really neat. Mm-hmm. And as a hardworking... manual labor, it's like, well, I don't get to join the party?
Only because you're in a safety-sensitive function.
And so it's understandable, but you could still, you know, let's say you go to the islands and you have you're able to get a vacation, you're able to put one together, mm-hmm. you can go have cocktails.
But yes, you can.
But you can't do. You're not going to do any cannabis.
Right, and that's only because the testing methods are flawed, because... it could be in your system for a month beyond when you had any impairment from it.
Exactly.
So when we improve the testing methods, then we will be able to fix this problem.
And given the way the world is going, you think that's going to happen?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
like
awesome,
I said earlier, my daughter runs. She's chief compliance officer for a large laboratory that tests medical marijuana, and it is something they're working on for the consumer product. Is to come up with that impairment test for immediate use in the field, just like alcohol has.
Wow.
Because imagine they test medical grade, but they also test consumer grade in some of the states that it's been allowed in, and. Imagine the business that it will expand, and marijuana
taxes,
is a huge business.
Right? Oh, my gosh. States need money, and this is Colorado's like, yeah.
Exactly. So with those successes, imagine the revenue this will create. There are several well-respected companies working on creating that refined testing for us. Then it'll just be up to the congressional leaders and the industry leaders to accept it in our industry, like we've come to accept controlled use of alcohol.
I suppose this is a good time as any to probably wrap it up, and Happy New Year. Carlos Braxton says Happy New Year. Devin says have a safe flight, Brian. And thank you, man. This is the last show of 2020 on Auto Transport Intel.
Yes,
so, you know, I appreciate you taking the time to do it. I know you just landed. You're at the airport. And, I can almost remember what it was like to travel. How is traveling right now? Is it okay?
It's not awful. The COVID restrictions make it a little difficult. Finding food can be difficult sometimes. Yeah, right. But overall, people are respecting each other's space, and it's a little inconvenient and uncomfortable, but not unbearable. And yeah, I haven't missed a week of travel since this all started. I was in Washington, D.C. on March 12th when they shut the Capitol down. I was down there with a trade association meeting with Congress, and I have not missed a week since they shut the Capitol down on March 12th. And
that's awesome.
I wish I had some time off, but I haven't this year.
Well, we thank you for what you do, Brian. Happy New Year to you, man. Thank you so much. Stay
safe.
Same
to you.
And we'll see you next week. Okay, so next week we're on every week, and we'll work out. We'll work out this equipment show idea. Let's try to do an equipment show in January, and we'll start that once a month process.
Sounds good. We'll talk later off air.
Cool, man. Thank you. All right. Take care.
Bye.
See you, buddy. Okay. Bye. All right. I just ended the meeting with Brian, so that's it. He is your DOT guy, Brian Riker. Corvette, you know, Corvette. Shoot, I missed it, man. Well, listen, you know, you can watch it back. Good show. We talked about the clearinghouse. We talked about, touched upon, if you have a compliance review, how different that is from an entrance safety audit. And Devin had a great question about medical cards for non-CDL drivers. It's based on state to state, and Brian gave some advice on that. So that's the show in a nutshell. Chris Chamberlain, Happy New Year, guys. Looking forward to the new year and following your show. That's awesome. Thank you for that. It is neat to see. I think Q4 2020 was actually pretty good for Auto Transport Intel. I guess everybody being cooped up gives us, you know, a chance more to build the community and get advice online. So I'm happy to be here. I'm glad the channel is here. I'm glad you're here, whether you're watching live or online. You know, you can put it down in the YouTube comments below. If you missed the live chat, please do remember to leave a like. If there's something you need that's not here, send me an email, autotransportintel@gmail.com. And don't forget, you know, you can go sign up. You don't have to do this. I share it because we get people asking all the time, you know, hey, where do I get more information? I'm ready. I want to talk to somebody. You want to talk to Ty. Ty talks to everybody. When you go sign up as an ATI insider, you're going to get in touch with Ty. You're going to get on our email list, and we want to help. Whether it's you or a friend, whether a carrier, dispatcher, broker, dealer, you work at an auction, you're developing a new technology, we talk to everybody. So we're happy to be here. And yeah, man, Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you so much. Stay safe, and we'll see you next year. Peace out.